Thank you for listening to Internet Boyfriends. Sitting to Internet Boyfriends.
She's jealous, isn't she?
No, I don't think so.
To Internet Boyfriends.
We are really bad on staying on top. I fucking apologize to any listeners that think that we're organized in any fucking way.
And you're listening to Internet Boyfriends.
The Nazis are back, and they're flying over, about to bomb fucking Toronto, duck and cover.
Krampus!
Like, just fucking...
Yeah, like, I wish I had a better way of describing that so I didn't sound like a fucking racist. Like,
it's terrible!
I'm a big fan of pickles.
I'm telling you what I learned from television and Wikipedia.
She really likes how I say audio.
I know how the internet works.
Internet Boyfriends.
Fair enough. Okay. So anyways, welcome to another Internet Boyfriends. Thank you for listening, all the rest of that crap. I'm Joey. With me here is, I guess we're the Huey, Dewey, and Louie of this week. The Dewey to my Louie, Ryan Kloss.
Hey.
And our guest, who's left, Huey to my Louie.
And my Dewey.
Colin,
yes. And this week, it's good. How are you, sir?
Not bad.
Now, long-time listeners will remember that Colin once asked in a Q&A, have we heard his How He Almost Wrecked the Juno Awards story? And since we had Colin handy, we figured we'd ask him how he almost wrecked the Juno Awards story, and that's basically what we'll be talking about today.
I like how you're jumping right on this. When we were talking about this, and we're like, yeah, it's a story, like a 5-10-minute story. Colin was just downplaying it, like, it's no big deal. It's just a story. I'm just going to tell the story, and that'll be it, and we'll pad the episode out with the rest of the stuff, and you are going right into it like we got to be on task this time.
Well, we can pad later. I'm just giving a little backstory.
We don't fucking pad. That is the beauty of
we never pad. There's no tangents on Internet Boyfriends.
No, there's tangents, but we never pad. I don't think there has ever been an episode where I've turned to you and I've said, hey, have we made time yet? Oh, dear God, it's going over an hour. We need to shut the fuck up and wrap this thing up.
And by we mean you.
Aww. Anyways, so story time with Colin.
Story time. So does everybody know what the Juno Awards are?
No, I don't.
No.
Well,
I genuinely don't. So.
I'm pretending I don't for comedic effect.
You have me as the American, goddammit. Why won't anyone pay attention to the American? I don't know what we're talking about, like an American.
Because everyone always pays attention to Americans. This is a nice change of pace for once.
Yes. Right, so the Juno Awards are the Canadian version of the Grammys, essentially.
What are the Grammys? Yes! I got a laugh. I'm done for the day. I can check out. Sorry.
All right.
Continue.
Bye.
See you guys.
I assume you're going to insert a door slamming special effects in there.
No, well, then I would have the whole, like, the clippity-cloppity of the horse as I close the door and then eat the horse as it's running away. So, no, it'll probably just be as is, and there'll be a huge long pause, a long awkward pause as I'm gonna go now, because everyone wants to talk about Canadian things. These Canadians have taken over the podcast, and I don't want to be Internet Boyfriends anymore. So, sorry.
Maybe we should apologize in advance to John. Seems to hate Canadians.
John doesn't hate Canadians. He just thinks they're shifty. That doesn't mean he hates them.
He also is mad at them taking over our podcast. Although that's assuming we're his favorite podcast.
That's true.
Yes,
that was a big assumption.
That is a big assumption. Anyways, back on topic.
We'll listen to your melodic tones instead of ours. Go on.
Yes. It's how I almost screwed up the Juno Awards. Okay, first of all, it was my fault. So I worked for a courier company back then. I'm back working at it now, but... So I was working for it, and I got called into the boss's office on a Friday, asking if I had any plans for the weekend. I said no. Boss goes, you want to do a special and run a delivery from Winnipeg to Saskatoon?
What the hell is Saskatoon?
City about, I don't know, about 9 hours away, where the Juno Awards are being held.
Okay. Is it a big city?
Well, for Saskatchewan, it's a fairly big city.
Okay. Saskatoon just sounds like Jug Band or something like that. I don't know. That's the first when someone says Saskatoon, first thing that comes into mind is Jug Band. I guess I'm the only one. Okay, never mind. Sorry.
We're both Canadian. We've grown up knowing what Saskatoon was. What do you expect?
Fine, go right ahead.
All right. So I'm told that I'm going to do this delivery.
To be fair, there are only 200,000 people in Saskatoon.
Jug Band, exactly. Sorry, continue.
So I'm going to do this delivery, which I don't know what it is yet. I'm just told that I'm picking it up at 4 a.m. and driving straight to Saskatoon and dropping it off. It seemed like a good idea. The girlfriend at the time was doing exams, so I thought it would be smart to get away from her for the weekend. And then she decided to tag along, so that, you know, first thing that got fucked up on the trip. So I go and I rent a U-Haul, go home, sleep for a bit. I go pick up the packages at the courier company at 4 in the morning because they just got flown in from Toronto. flown in from Toronto.
What?
And I have to drive them to Saskatoon.
Why didn't they fly them into Saskatoon?
Don't know.
For those of you who don't know, Winnipeg is essentially between Toronto and Saskatoon.
Okay, good. Because
Saskatoon does
that.
Have an airport.
Even though it's only 200,000 people. It is much smaller than Winnipeg.
They paid for it to be flown from Toronto to Winnipeg, picked up in Winnipeg, and driven to Saskatoon. Why they did that, I'll never know. So I pick up these, they're supposed to be 4 crates. So I figure I can just slide them in the back and I'm good to go, right? No, I show up and they're on wheels with no lock. There's stickers all around them stating fragile, do not put on side. What is the first thing I do?
Put them
on the side. Yeah, of course. I can't have them rolling around in the back while I'm driving. So the supervisor yells at me, just yells at me. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do? So to make him happy, I put them on their wheels. I take off my hoodie and I shove them under the wheels of the one in the back, stopping it enough that I can drive around the corner and then flip them on the side.
Smart man.
Yeah. So I call my boss. I explain the problem. She says, you know, she lives just kind of outside on the city. Stop in. We'll nail some boards into the floor, and then we can put them not on their side, make them happy and all that when we show up in Saskatoon and hope that they aren't broken already, right?
Yeah.
So I do that. So I'm already, what, 3 hours behind, and finally I'm on the road. I'm making my way to Brandon, which is about 2 hours outside of Winnipeg, and it's the prairies, right? So it's pretty flat. But just before you get into Brandon, there's a nice little hill.
Wait, what's Brandon?
Small town in Manitoba.
Okay.
So as we're cresting at the top of the hill, the heat gauge in the truck just spikes and smoke starts coming from the engine. So I'm a little worried since I'm supposed to have the lights for the Junos delivered by the next day, right?
Wait, hold on a second here. Is it really the spotlights or is
it's
it
the spotlights?
Okay. See,
I don't find this out until I get there. But it's the spotlights.
Okay. See, I thought that they were saying, like, it's the spotlights, and you were like, all right, it's the spotlights, whatever, and it was actually the whatever they, like, the fucking actual awards themselves. This whole thing seems stupid. Continue. I mean, not your part in it, but their part in it seems ridiculously stupid, so.
We drive another, like, 25 minutes into Brandon. Thankfully, the truck did not die. The heat gauge kind of came down a bit as we were driving, so I assumed, you know, it's something with the oil. I'm not all that mechanically inclined. Sure enough, we pull into the budget, rent a truck, and say, you know, can we get another truck? This one's broken. They say no. They won't fix it for us. They send us to some mechanic on the other side of the city, which we have to drive to. So I'm driving with a smoking truck with lights that need to be delivered, or the Junos aren't going to happen. And I find out that there's a giant leak. It's just leaking oil, and I can't get another truck. What does the mechanic recommend?
Duct tape.
No, it can't be duct tape.
But keep filling it with oil, and then let it burn through. Like, let it leak the oil or burn the oil, and just keep filling it every, like, hour on the hour or something.
That is what I did.
Yep.
But a lot of oil. Probably cost just as much in oil as it did in gas.
Jesus Christ.
Yep. Yeah.
I had to do that with a car that had a bad radiator. I had to keep topping off the antifreeze. It was fun. Anyway.
Yeah, but that's antifreeze. That's not the oil.
it still has the same essential issue, is that it does the engine gets too hot and seizes.
Yes, I know. That's what happened to Matt's. Oh,
I remember that story.
That's my big fuck-up story. Oh, there you go. I got my big fuck-up story. So sorry, Colin. I'll let you tell yours first because I'm being an asshole. Continue, sir.
You are not an asshole, sir.
Yes, he is. Just move on.
After my hourly stopping and filling it with oil, I finally get to Saskatoon.
Did you drive through Regina?
Yes, we drove through Regina. Nice. Are you going to explain to Joey what that is?
Regina is the capital of Saskatoon and the city that rhymes with fun.
Okay. Hold on, wait, sorry.
Sorry, it's a little late. Regina is the capital of Saskatchewan, not Saskatoon, which is just a city in Saskatchewan, my bad. And it's a city that rhymes with fun.
Okay, let me address this first off. It is with an R.
Yes.
Regina.
Hence the rhyming.
Fair enough. Okay. Just making sure we're all on the same page here, because first off, when you said it, I thought you said vagina was the capital.
No.
I was like, oh, the Canadian sensibility, I know they're more liberal than us. I didn't think they'd name a town after a female sex organ, but hey, maybe there's also, maybe the other, what's the next fucking county over, whatever you guys have, or the next state over?
Province.
And then there's another one.
Alberta.
I would assume that one would be like ovaries, maybe. I don't know. Like, there could be a different thing. I heard vagina. That's what I heard.
There is a medicine hat in the one won over, which is a silly name.
Medicine hat. It's not as bad as vagina, but
in Newfoundland, there's a city called Dildo.
Well, we have Intercourse, Pennsylvania, so I guess it can't be that. Anyways,
okay,
I really...
so you finally get into Saskatoon.
Finally get into Saskatoon. Now, I know the city a decent amount because I have family there and I've been there a bunch of times. But I don't know exactly where the... Not entirely sure what their big arena is called or the Junos are, but I printed out Google Maps. It's Google Maps. It's got to be right. So it's taking me down this road. I'm driving past a prison and all of a sudden the road ends. I'm stuck. I have to back up a road because I can't turn around because it's only one lane.
Of course.
Yeah, it's Saskatoon. What do you expect? So I back up, keep backing up. Eventually I get to turn around and finally find the, you know, the arena, and I have back it down and some guy's yelling at me as I'm backing it down because he knows it's the spotlights because it's the only thing that hasn't been delivered yet, which it's still Saturday. The Junos aren't till Sunday. I don't see what's
wrong. Oh, they got lots of time.
Exactly. So I unload them, and pretty much the entire time I'm unloading them, this guy is yelling at me because I almost screwed up the Juno Awards. He keeps saying that because the lights aren't here, you know, we're not going to have time to set them up properly. And I almost screwed up the Juno Award. How I did this, how it was my fault, I still don't understand, because they should have been flown from Toronto to Saskatoon. Or Budget should have given me a truck that worked. Or they shouldn't have been on wheels in the first place.
I don't understand why. Yeah, all those points and many more. What the fuck? I don't get any of the... Number one, I understand that spotlights are integral to a performance in which you have to, like, shine a spotlight on somebody and say, hey, here they are, so on and so forth, but it's a fucking light. Is it really that hard to set up a light?
I didn't think so, but I'm just a delivery driver that failed miserably, so...
No, you're much more than that. You know, you probably know more about lighting than that guy does.
But I almost screwed up the Juno Awards, as he kept telling me adamantly, probably about 10 times every minute. So I just like to tell the story that I screwed up the Juno Awards.
But who the fuck is this guy anyway?
I don't know, some director of whatever, the Juno's organizer or something like that.
Oh, no. I'm at this point in the story, I'm upset because someone's mouthing off to Colin. I don't like that.
The Junos are watched by tens and tens of people.
Okay, all right, fair enough. So this is some prick that fucking is full of himself and shouldn't be yelling at Colin in the first place. I understand.
Pretty much.
I get upset. I hear somebody yelling at one of my friends. I get upset. I want to know why, especially over a bunch of fucking lights. Give me a break. I mean, they got there. What the fuck? And they got there for probably, well... Yeah, they probably got there for cheaper, because there's no way in hell that fucking your trip was more expensive than the cost to fly them the extra way. Otherwise, they really are stupid. Like I said before, when we were just talking, when I think about things, I think about every possible fucking aspect for no fucking reason. If I look at a candy bar, I want to know why the wrapper was printed that way, who printed the wrapper that way. Do they have a factory that prints the wrapper and then a factory that makes the chocolate, or they have one factory that makes the wrapper and the chocolate and puts them together? These are things I think about, and I completely waste all of my fucking time and my brain power on things like this when I could actually be working on fucking things like, hey, this cereal tastes good, or hey, I should pay attention to when I'm walking down the stairs. But when you tell a story like that, I get number one upset because somebody was yelling at you, and number two upset because that is fucking retarded. There's no way, I can't imagine that there's any, unless it was the difference of like hundreds of dollars. Because what you're saying is that the Junos don't really have a big budget, is what I'm reading into this, what you both are saying about them.
Nothing on Canadian television has a big budget.
Yeah, but it's government sponsored. If they need the money, can't they get it at some point?
No.
I don't know.
And not, to be fair, also not all television in Canada is on the CBC, which is our government-run.
Yeah, but the Juno Awards are, no?
I believe so.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they're like the government awards either. So I'm not entirely sure where
that
things get split.
If they just like pulled out your PM's iPod and they were like, the most played song of the year is this fucking Black Eyed Peas song. All right. Woo! Black Eyed Peas. There we go. Next one.
I love how you just said RPM because you have no clue whatsoever who our prime minister is.
He's a conservative, I know that. Yeah.
That is a drastic improvement over most people I've talked to in the States.
Not
that you have any reason to know who they are, but...
His last name starts with an H, yes?
Oh, improved.
H-A.
Two for two.
Okay, good. It's not Harkness, is it?
No. That's Captain Jack from Torchwood.
No. I don't know. That's where I go when I know we're basically at this point we've turned the podcast into playing Hangman. So I'm going with fucking anything at this point. And Harkness is the thing that comes up.
It's all good. I just thought it was.
What's
funny.
It?
It's all good. I just thought it was funny.
I know, but that's the problem is that I do know the guy's name because I subscribe to R Canada on Reddit, and then people talk about him all the time as an asshole, and everybody hates him apparently.
Yeah. Well, everyone, yes. I'm sure everyone on Reddit hates him, at least. He did win, so I'm assuming some people like him. But
well, yeah. Let's put it this way. I've probably read just as many articles about him as you have, if not more. So, like, I know...
probably
I know
accurate.
I know who the guy is. I just don't remember his name off the top of my head. So, it's something with an H. I know that. So, what is it?
Are we going to tell him? Or?
I don't know. This is sort of fun. It's Stephen Harper.
See, for a second there, I thought you guys didn't know when you were like, oh, maybe the American will tell us what our PM is named, eh? What's his name?
Stephen Harper.
Yeah, Harper. Harkness, Harper, close enough. I got close. I could have fucking worked on that one. If I kept going with fucking...
The random letter guessing?
The random letter guessing, I would have gotten there, yeah. Close enough. Probably closer than most of the people in this country could get to spelling Barack Obama's name, let alone knowing Barack Obama's name. It's got to be. I would imagine that I don't know the numbers, but I definitely underestimate my fellow Americans, and I would guess that Americans on the whole, I'm willing to say 40% don't know who the president is.
I think that's probably high.
I don't know. I haven't been all over this country, but I've been to some places on this country, and I'd say 40%, depending on where you go. Yeah, maybe it is high. I don't know. Fuck it.
Yeah, I'd say that's really high, actually.
But we're nice and think you guys are, well, I think for the most part, Americans are fairly nice people.
I think people for the most part are nice people, so, and as much as I may talk shit about people. Yeah. Speaking of nice people.
My buddy Chris and I decided one day to, not one day, not on a whim, but to drive down to South Jersey to get White Castle. This was the entire premise of the trip. I have since decided I have no desire to have White Castle, but at that point I was like, we had free time, we had the money to do so, and we had arranged tickets to Letterman, and we were going to hit up Jay and Silent Bob's secret stash. So we were planning to do all this. We piled in the car... is, in our minds, relatively safe and functional car, and drive down south, across the border, across Champlain, the first city, across Plattsburgh, the first decent-sized city in New York. Shortly after Plattsburgh, we hear clunk, and Chris's car coasts to a stop. We get out of the car. We, as good male people do, pop open the hood and take a look, poke things, look around... generally just hit things, see what's going on. Nothing changes, close the hood, look under, see the transmission is completely, like, dropped out of its housing, for lack of a better word. I'm also not terribly mechanical. So Chris calls AAA. Actually, no, we don't have cell phones at the time. This predates cell phones, or predates our having of cell phones. So we have to walk back up the highway to the closest exit. And I don't know if you know, between Plattsburgh and Albany... there is fuck all.
There's nothing up there.
There is nothing at all. We were very, very lucky to have died shortly outside of Plattsburgh.
It's like Saskatoon up there. There's nothing for miles. Yeah.
Although there's hills there, so you can't see, like... Saskatchewan is entirely flat. You can see Alberta from Manitoba. But Canadian humor.
He's not exaggerating.
He can tell me that when the dragons are flying over Saskatoon, it's one of the prettiest things you've ever seen.
The common joke is when your dog runs away in Saskatchewan, you can watch it running away for 3 or 4 days because it's just that flat. Anyway, so we're lucky enough to have had our car die shortly outside of Plattsburgh and walked back and found some... I'm going to be mean, but... I mean, people in New York say upstate New York. It's not really upstate New York until you pass Albany. That's really upstate, hicky, redneck for New York. It's kind of weird up there.
Not to me, motherfucker.
I know, but to most, it's like Albany is upstate New York.
Upstate New York to anybody in New Jersey is like Harlem.
Anyways.
It is fucking true. It really... ask anybody from New Jersey or anybody from Manhattan, say, where's upstate New York? And they'll basically say anywhere that's not in the city of New York is upstate New York, essentially. So,
I've heard that, too. But, this is real redneck hill people upstate New York. So we're walking around, find this random gas station, convince them to let us use the phone, and we call AAA or some sort of tow truck, get a tow truck to come, pick us up there, then drive down to get the car. We were waiting at this strange gas station for what felt felt like an hour with people, pickup truck after pickup truck after pickup truck. Large people. Lots and lots of very large people. Assorted jerky of the likes I've never seen before. I don't know. I don't know what is left in New York and trucks and jerky, but there's a lot of it. Get a lift to Plattsburgh. Get the car towed. The car is totaled. They can't fix it. It's a Saturday. Like, there's nothing they can do anyway, and it would cost thousands of dollars to fix, and it's not worth it.
What happened?
His transmission just dropped out. Like, his transmission was completely shot. Like, it's done.
Okay. Yeah, that's going to be...
Yeah, so we at that point, we're in the Champlain Mall in Plattsburgh, wandering around. We call my dad to drive down to pick us up. It's a 40... it's an hour and 50 minutes from Montreal to Plattsburgh.
That's probably not that bad. I thought it would be further.
We wander a mall for an hour, and Chris has Taco Bell for the first time and buys a President's United States of America CD.
Nice.
And I wander aimlessly and buy nothing and do not have Taco Bell. I only had Taco Bell for the first time in 2010 and never before then.
Why?
Because it was not available in Quebec at all until 2 or 3 years ago. And I'm not going to, if I'm traveling, I'm not like, ooh, I got to try Taco Bell. It's not like tops of my list.
Well, you're not missing much.
I've had it since then, and I know, like, I had these, when we drove to Fan Expo, we stopped and had Taco Bell, some small town in Toronto, Ontario, and I had their quesadilla or something, and it was fine. It wasn't bad, it wasn't great, but I realized I wasn't missing much. Anyway, my dad picks us up, and we come home, and Chris ultimately has to send a tow truck down to have his car dragged across the border so it could be scrapped here, so he doesn't have to pay for duty on his scrap metal, which cost him a fortune. Because that's how the border works. If he sold his car there in the States, or sold it for scrap in the States, he'd have to pay duty on that because he made, like, that's just how it works. So he had to pay for a tow truck to drive it across the border, and then he could scrap it somewhere in Lacolle or whatever. And yeah, it's not as exciting as Colin's story, but this is my worst car driving story. And I wasn't even driving, but yeah. So we did not get to Letterman. We did not get to Jersey. It was a completely aborted trip.
Did not pass go. Did not pass go.
Yeah. And we just were so happy we died somewhere outside of Plattsburgh and not in that 2 or 3 hours of nothingness between Plattsburgh and Albany.
How was it cheaper to tow it across the border and have it scrapped there than to have it scrapped in New York? I don't get that.
I don't know. He did the math, and it was cheaper. That's all I know.
Huh.
It was cheaper to do, like... So he left it in Plattsburgh and eventually had someone tow it, and it was ultimately cheaper.
That's fucking weird. I mean, because for having a car scrapped, I can't imagine you get a whole lot of money from that.
You don't.
Yeah, I assume maybe $100, $200 tops.
Yeah, apparently,
I don't know anything about cars.
Apparently it was cheaper. I don't remember. It's been years now. Clearly, we didn't have cell phones. I didn't have a cell phone until fairly late, but I definitely had one in 2005. So I'm not entirely sure. I might have not brought it with me because I was in the States. Or we might have used it and rented, like, to call AAA and rented a battery power. I don't remember exactly.
I just like the idea that you left it home because your mom was like, you can't bring that cell phone to the States.
Oh,
you know,
no, I was living on my own at that point.
They'll strip you and kill you.
I was living on my own at that point.
No, I know. I'm just teasing you.
I know. So yeah, it's not as exciting as Colin's story, and I didn't wreck any massively popular Canadian award shows.
I didn't wreck it. Almost.
I know. I didn't potentially wreck an awesomely popular Canadian award show, but that's my...
No,
sorry.
Go on. I was going to say to Colin, knowing now, Colin, what you were carrying and everything that was going on, well, you still do work for this place, right? The courier place?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe that's going to change the answer that I'm expecting, but... Knowing that douchebag of a guy, would you have gone back and wrecked the lights? Knowing what you know now, would you have gone back and wrecked the lights and been like, yeah, now I did ruin the award show. What do you think of it? Huh? 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 What are you going to do? What's up there, Mr. Director?
Very, very tempting. Very tempting.
Yes.
I probably would do it, though.
That's the answer I want. I wanted to know that was in your heart, where you're just like, as you're unloading the truck, like, oh, I ruined the award show?
I would. Accidentally would have pushed them off the truck onto the ground right in front of them.
Why were the lights on wheels, though? I'm still processing this in my head.
I have no Canada. Idea.
But just because you're in Canada doesn't mean that you're fucking retarded. Why would you put something that's fragile on wheels?
Because they only had the one box, and they had to reuse it for the lights. That's all.
Oh,
we can't afford a ton of boxes. This is Canada.
This is what you get for living in a socialist country. God damn it. You can't even have boxes.
Not multiple boxes.
Not multiple boxes. You can have a box.
Yes.
That's okay. That's acceptable. In the soup lines. Well, like, is that when you're going and waiting for healthcare, is that something you guys talk about where it's like, did you hear about Jerry? He bought a box.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to, like, or if you're waiting there on the ridiculously long lines to see a doctor or whoever whoever that you go see. I guess you see like a voodoo doctor.
They're still doctors. They're still doctors. We're not going to a mechanic or
no.
A grocer.
I would assume you'd go see a barber because like you'd have the barber that does.
Oh, that's
like,
just for surgery. You know, that's not for actual like checkups.
Oh, okay, gotcha. And for doesn't he also is a dentist? No, I mean isn't that how that works? Okay. All right, just making sure. I didn't know. And then, like, you would say, like, hey, did you hear about Ricky? No, what happened? He bought 2 boxes, and now he's on his way to America. What are you going to do? Should have known better. Should have known better, Ricky.
Exactly.
But everyone's learning a lot about Canada today, I think. I feel bad that my story is not Canada-related, though. Makes me sad. Like, I move on to something about New York. Although, my story is about me and Matt, and Matt's 94 Ford Taurus. And we were at Marist, I think it was after he graduated. I'm not sure. We were driving out of Marist, or out of Poughkeepsie. Poughkeepsie, New York goes across the Hudson River into New York. And then, well, it's all in New York, but it goes deeper into New York. And then you go to this diner that's just there in the middle of nowhere, basically. And we decided we were going to stop at that diner for lunch, and then we were going to head home. As we were pulling to the diner, there was a car in front of us that was smoking like crazy. We were like, oh, man, look at this fucking douchebag. Like, fucking white smoke is pouring out of his car like a fucking asshole. We can't even see what the hell we're doing. What the hell is this fucking jerk-off doing? And it was in the middle. It couldn't have been after he graduated because that was in May. So it had to be somewhere in the fucking winter. I must have gone up there during the winter and came home with him because it was very cold out. We were driving along, smoke everywhere, went inside the diner. Remember, I got a pizza burger, and we sat there playing with the – you guys have diners up there, right?
Not to the same extent.
Okay.
But we are aware of the diner.
You were aware of the diner. When you came down to Jersey, I guess you might have seen the fact that in most New Jersey diners, they have the music box thing, mm-hmm. like the stereo. You put the quarter in, and it'll play one song, and then you can like flip through all the little things and say like, you know, C18 is the Bee Gees. Yeah, like that sort of thing. So we were sitting there, we were listening to like Boston and whatever other classic rock they had on there, and we were eating our hamburgers, and we got back in the car, and we started driving again, and there was another asshole right in front of us that was like pouring smoke into our fucking face. And we're like, what the hell is this? Like, what is this, like asshole day or something where just fucking smoke's coming out and everything? And so finally it dawned on us that we were the assholes, that like the smoke was coming out of the engine, and we're seeing that, and we're thinking it's the car in front of us like fucking morons. Anyways, Matt pulls into the gas station that was next to, like, it was a gas station, there was a diner, so we pulled into the gas station.
Like every corner of New Jersey.
No, this is still New York.
Oh, okay. So,
but yeah, this is basically like you said. In New York, it's not upstate New York by any means, but it's still what we think was upstate here because it's more, I wouldn't say agrarian, but there's fucking nothing up there. It's like there's a diner, there's a gas station, and there's the highway. And that's basically it. And it's all on the way to get to the thruway. So we stop at the gas station, and he gets out of the car, and he's like, oh, the engine's overheating. I was like, well, I guess you'd pour water on the engine. I mean, like, what the hell do you do at that point? I don't know what was going through our heads, because I try not to think about the story too much, because it's really stupid. But anyways, he ran into the gas station, he bought 2 big jugs of water, and he poured one of them on the engine, and then put the other one in the back of the car in case of emergencies, because assuming, like, it's cold, and you pour cold water on the fucking engine, it's cold enough, it's the winter. I mean, sure enough, it'll cool down the engine enough. Nothing bad will ever happen to the engine. We just kept driving, and the engine wasn't smoking anymore. It had cooled down at that point. You know, we, for whatever reason, thought everything was fine. We started off on the thruway. Because if you're ever having engine problems, I highly recommend you get on the New York thruway and immediately take your car up to like 60, 70 miles an hour and see what the fuck happens. Well, it wasn't long out of that town, shit town in the middle of nowhere, that were on the thruway banging around like 60, 70 miles an hour. And all of a sudden we heard like a pop and a bang, and then the smoke just starts coming up out of the fucking engine again. Like, all right, whatever, let's fucking take it to the side of the road, whatever. And he kind of slows down a little bit, and he started to pull over, and sure enough, a bigger bang. And then we are now driving along, smoke is pouring out of the front of the car, and Matt turns to me and he goes, the brakes don't work, like everything turned off in the car, the radio turned off in the car, everything's fucking broken. It's now raining out, and we're just kind of coasting along with, there's no power steering, everything's out. Colin?
Yeah, I'm still here.
You're right over there, buddy? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, there was a zipper or something that just happened, and I was like, oh god,
that was
Colin's hanging himself. Okay, gotcha. I don't know why I thought you were hanging yourself when I hear a zipper sound, but, you know,
stories
whatever.
Are more boring than Ryan's. Fuck it.
I liked your story. I like hearing your stories. That's why we have a podcast together. Anyways, yeah, I feel like we're at the height of the story now when the engine has now exploded, essentially. There's fucking smoke coming out everywhere. The engine, the fucking, nothing's working in the car. He's moving the fucking steering wheel back and forth, and I don't know if you, either one of you have ever driven without power steering,
oh,
but it's not
easy. Sucks.
Not,
yeah,
not easy.
We're coasting along at a good clip here. We got to be going like 40-50 miles an hour on the highway not in traffic, but there's cars around us, and now the engine is shut off and we doesn't have power steering. So I said, like, all right, well, like, fucking calm down, or he told me calm down, like, what, like, somehow out of that I remember being not more reasonable the two of us, but I know that it was basically the two of us put ourselves together and we're like, all right, we have a situation, we've got to get the fuck out, we have to not die, that's our only duty to ourselves is to not die, the car is fucked, it's gone, we clearly have to move to Mexico and change our names, we've disgraced ourselves, let's just not die and get to the side of the road. I said, you know, like, jerk the wheel, and he was doing this and whatever else, and however the fuck it happened, obviously I'm here telling the story, we got to the side of the road safely, and the car is completely fucked. He opens I think he went to go open the hood, and it was fucking hot to the touch, and it was just fucked. Later, we kind of found out that the head gasket exploded because we didn't put... If I know this isn't car talk, but I will recommend, tip to anybody who ever has a smoking engine, first thing you want to do is open the hood when the hood is cold to the touch, not hot to the touch, and look at the engine, try to figure out where the hell the coolant goes, and put some coolant in the engine, because we didn't have any fucking coolant for the engine whatsoever. And just because it's the winter out and it's very cold outside does not mean that the engine is going to cool itself, because that motherfucker gets hot, especially when you're on the highway driving very quickly. We didn't understand that, and I think Matt paid the price of about $3,000 to get the fucking engine fixed, so... I'd highly recommend that you spend the $20 or whatever it's going to be to put the coolant in the engine instead of exploding your head gasket, just as a fucking heads up. Anyways, we got out of the car. It was raining like crazy. We called fucking AAA. Luckily, Matt had AAA, as apparently everybody does, except for Colin. So we were outside of the car, and we didn't know what to do because we didn't want to sit inside the car because we were afraid that if we were inside the car for some reason, I guess the car would explode? I don't know. There was some reason. Reason why we wouldn't sit in the car, and I'd like to think it was because we thought the car was going to explode.
That makes sense.
And so we were out, and also because I think it was because we had to like wait for the guy, and I think Matt was worried that if we sat inside the car that the tow truck driver wouldn't recognize the smoking heap of a car sitting on the side of the road instead of like fucking the car. Because at that point, well, actually, I don't think it was that. I shouldn't shit on Matt, because I think it was a little less ridiculous, because the point I forgot to tell was that we had to push the car along the side of the road to the nearest rest stop, because the New York Thruway doesn't want broken down cars on the side of their road. So when we called for AAA, they recommended, like, all right, how far are you from a rest stop? We were like, actually not very far at that point. I think it was under a mile. So they're just like, just push the car to the rest stop and we'll meet you there. I'm like, all right, sure, whatever. So that's what we did. And we were sitting there on the side of the road near the rest stop. Didn't know what to do. We were just sitting there waiting for the guy. And Matt was like, hey, I got a great idea. Let's sit here under, like, basically we were on the back bumper of the car leaning against it. Because if the car's going to explode, it's the safest place to be is like leaning against the back bumper. He pulled out Swisher Sweets. Do either one of you guys know what those are?
Nope.
They are convenience store cigars. Like, they are basically the cheapest cigars you can possibly buy. They have plastic tips on the end of them because you want to feel fancy when you're smoking fucking convenience store cigars. So we pulled out some Swisher Sweets, strawberry flavored Swisher Sweets.
Oh, Jesus.
And it was like smoking strawberry dog hair, basically.
Oh.
Yeah, it was awful. We were just sitting out there like, oh God, this is fucking terrible. What are we going to do with ourselves? We really have disgraced ourselves, because at that point we kind of understood, like, whatever we did was so stupid and so boneheaded we'd never hear the end of it from any of our parents whatsoever, and we really still haven't to this day. I know that my dad probably will never let me touch a car ever again, of his at least, because I can't recognize the fact that a car doesn't have coolant in it when it's smoking from the engine. We were sitting on the side of the road smoking our cigars, and sure enough, about an hour fucking later, this guy gets out, and he was... His name was Roy. When I say the name Roy, and you guys don't think of the IT crowd, what do you imagine?
The Filipino husband of a friend of mine?
Colin.
Friend from high school.
God damn it. How does everybody know a Roy except for me? I don't know a Roy, so whenever somebody mentions Roy, I think of a guy that's 67 feet tall, made of mustache, and drives a giant fucking tow truck around, picking up people off the side of the throughway. This guy was just... We were gonna get raped. I mean, we were pretty sure we were gonna get murdered and raped in the middle of nowhere in New York, because this guy was just fucking... We were, like I said, we were on the side of the road smoking cigars. That was back when I smoked cigarettes, and we finished with the cigars, because they were awful, and Roy was standing there, like, hooking up the whatever to the car and, like, making sure everything was secure, and as we were doing that, I lit up a cigarette, and I gave Matt a cigarette and lit his, and Roy looked over and he goes, "What you got there, boy?" I go, cigarettes? Menthols? I'm sorry. We're not ethnic. I swear. Please don't kill us. And he goes, "No, you're lighter." Oh, I don't know. It's a Zippo. And he takes the lighter out of my hand, and he looks at the bottom of it, and he goes, "It doesn't say Zippo on here. Zippo, a real Zippo." And he takes out his Zippo out of his shirt pocket, as he would, and moves his cigarettes out of the way, his fucking Marlboro Reds, like he would. And he shows me the bottom of his lighter. He goes, "Look, that's got Zippo on it." And I said, "Because I did. It was a Zippo. The casing wasn't Zippo. The interior, the actual lighter was a Zippo because the fucking casing got bent. So I just took like a piece of shit casing that I had and put it on the Zippo lighter." And he's like, "Yeah, all right, whatever." And he just gets in the truck and he's like, "All right, you know, I forget how he explained it to us. I don't think he gave us the offer that one of us could sit in the car because I think it's ridiculous. I don't think that they're allowed to do that. And yeah, that seems horribly dangerous. But either way, we sat in the truck and it was basically like a 3-man seat where it was me and Matt and Roy. And Matt and I had the quick discussion of like, "All right, you're sitting next to him." "No, I'm not sitting next to him. You're sitting in the, you're taking the middle seat. You're the one, you're
engine."
I got
middle in my trip. I was like,
How was your guy? Was he Roy-esque?
He wasn't Roy-esque. He was much nicer than Roy seems to have been. And Chris is also 8 inches taller than me, so it was only fair he not get the middle seat.
I'd like to think that I stuck Matt in the middle seat because I know I'm a pretty bad friend. I think he did. But I wouldn't, and I would go, to answer that, I wouldn't say that Roy wasn't a nice guy. I think he was a nice guy, but here's two fucking moron city kids that can't even tell, like, we're stupid. We were stupid. It was a really dumb fucking move, and here comes this guy who drives a truck for a living to pick up stupid kids like us, and, you know, we're like, "All right, well, we're gonna go." He's like, "Oh, well, you know, you got to get this towed back to where you can fix it." And Matt said, "Well, basically, that's New Jersey." And that was an hour and 15-minute drive. So he basically said, either you can, like, I can tow this somewhere local and then they can tow it the rest of the way. Or with AAA, you have that thing where if you start off your trip, you get, like, the first 10 miles free or something along those lines. And then every, like, something after that, there's a pre-negotiated rate. So you get a good deal with whoever, sure, because you're a part of AAA. Whatever it is. So basically he was like, "Or I can just take you the rest of the way." And we're like, "Yeah, sure, rest of the way." And we know you're gonna kill us and like take out the fucking like Crocodile Dundee knife out of your pants and like fucking murder us in the middle of nowhere as we get closer and closer to Harriman State Park, which is the giant like fucking middle of nowhere like Appalachian Trail area by us, where you would murder and rape somebody. Not that you would, because I actually like Harriman and I go hiking up there with my dad as much as I can because it's beautiful. But yeah, if you were going to rape and murder somebody, why not do it in the woods? Basically, that was it. We got in the truck with Roy. He was very manly, way too manly for us, and said lots of manly things, like taught us all about living on the road and life, driving a truck and having big belt buckles and other manly things and mustaches and smoking cigarettes. Yeah, so, and we drove back to New Jersey, and we got in Matt's car, Matt's dad came to pick us up from mechanics, and basically it was, you're a moron, get in the car, we love you, we're glad you're safe, but you're morons, costs like a few $1,000s, and that's basically my story, I don't know.
So yeah, long story short, don't let Joe or I ever drive your car.
Wait, why you though? You're not a bad driver.
Oh, it's true, it was Chris, actually that's true, just don't let Joe drive your car.
Yeah, no, but that goes without saying, I don't drive, so. So, I mean, I don't know why you would let me drive your car. You would be really stupid. And I would be telling you at that point, you really don't want this to happen because I don't want this to happen. I don't want to drive your car. Please don't give me those keys. Please don't make me drive. Like, I would say the only time I would drive somebody is if they were drunk, like, obvious, like, beyond fucking drunk. Like, to the point of where they really couldn't operate their motor vehicle. That's the only time. And if I was the only person left alive on Earth for whatever fucking reason, and for some reason we really valued the car and had to fucking drive it, I don't know, for like in this ridiculous.
There are no cabs in this area, or
I don't know. Whatever the reason is, if I had to do it, I probably would, but it would take a while too because I drive like an old lady. I drive very like I drive like 10 under the speed limit no matter where I go, and I constantly like I turn very slowly and. I don't know how to drive. I mean, I get very nervous from driving, and I don't know how to drive. So, I mean, that's what it is. Don't let me drive your car. I'm sorry.
I won't.
I know you won't, but you're a good driver. I drove in the city with you. You drove me back into Jersey after the Comic-Con.
That's true.
And if you can handle New York City, you can drive fucking anywhere. Well, I think L.A. is the worst to drive of what
I've driven in L.A. also. Yeah,
which is worse.
Probably Montreal. Maybe Montreal. Probably New York.
Okay.
Just because it's so... Everyone's, like, honking constantly and you're moving so slowly. I mean, it's not more dangerous because everyone's moving at a mile an hour.
Yeah.
But it was definitely more nerve-wracking driving around Manhattan than it was driving around L.A.
Figures. For some reason, I imagine that in California, like, you can roll your windows down and just be like, hey, it's 70 degrees out all the time here. This is totally fucking reasonable. I don't mind taking a while to drive wherever I'm going because life is beautiful. Whereas in New York, anywhere, like, if you drive 2 inches, someone's like, I'm going to fucking cut your head off and shit down your neck. Move your fucking piece of shit car out of the way. And then as you're like, no, please, I'm just a Canadian. Don't fucking say that to me. I'm just trying to drive my automobile. You're gonna have at least one pedestrian walk past your car and kick it. You're just under constant because that's another thing too. I don't think anybody walks anywhere in LA. No. So pretty much like in New York, you have to worry about bike messengers. You have to worry about taxis. You have to worry about fucking pedestrians. You have to worry about horses. I mean, everything pretty much is on the road in New York. They really don't have any sort of, as far as I can tell, they have no laws in New York. What goes on the roads? Everything goes on the roads. Zeppelins, whatever. Yep.
Road zeppelins.
Road zeppelins. Yes. Yes. Road zeppelins. What's wrong with the roads? I would assume they
it
have.
It makes no sense. That's what's wrong with a road zeppelin.
I assume they have at least one rickshaw still in service in New York City as well.
Oh, I'm sure there's at least one.
Yeah. So everything goes on the street in New York City. I'm glad to hear that though. That it's harder to drive in New York City
than LA for sure. Although last time I was in LA, it was raining constantly, which did not help because no one knows how to drive in the rain in LA. It's definitely their roads are designed to be driven on, like it's a full on, like there's highways everywhere. It's all fairly civilized, at least relative to Montreal or Manhattan. Montreal's a terrible city to drive in. Terrible.
Why?
Well, there's a reason that only Manhattan and Montreal are the two places in North America you can't turn right on a red light, because we will run you over. We don't stop at lights. We don't stop at, like, you drive 10 under the speed limit, 10 over the speed limit is Montreal's baseline like speeds everywhere. Whether it's in a school zone or on the highway, you're doing 110 kilometers or you're doing 50 in a school zone. It doesn't matter. We drive fast. We drive terribly. Even our snowplows will kill people randomly because we don't pay any attention.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's a terrible place to drive.
No, I mean, has there been a recorded incident of your snowplow killing somebody? Because that's awesome. I mean, not to that person or their family, but for some reason, that imagery just really strikes me as some old lady crossing the street in the snowplow just honking with the air horn like, get out of the way, old lady. We're not stopping for shit. Fucking snow. Wham! Just hits her.
Oh, no, it was an old man.
Puts her under the snowplow and just fucking takes her under the wheels and kills her.
I think last year, 2 people died.
What? Really?
Yeah.
By way of snowplow?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm trying to remember if the snowplow driver was drunk or not. I can't remember right now.
I'm way more interested in this than I was in my story, so Jesus.
I see snowplows all the time. I don't understand how you can get hit by one. You see them coming from a mile away.
Well, the guy who got hit was probably drunk also. I'll read you the story. 3 Montreal senior citizens walking the city's weather-worn streets died in 2 separate incidents involving storm removal trucks on Tuesday. That's one day, 3 people were killed in 2 incidents. So one of the incidents killed 2 people. In both cases, the deaths occurred as pedestrians crossed the street on green lights and the trucks were making right turns. In the first incident, 2 people died after they were hit by a snow removal dump truck as they crossed the street in the city's east end.
Okay, well that's not a plow, it's a removal dump truck.
Yeah.
I mean,
the incident occurred,
so like, they got hit by a dump truck. That's understandable, I guess. I mean, dump trucks seem big and nowhere near as fun as getting hit. Like, I'm really thinking like that the snowplow is speeding up as they're seeing this old person in the street and they're putting the plow down and it's scraping against the floor. Like the fucking sparks are flying against the road. Yeah, exactly. And they're just like, move it, old woman.
Yeah, no one was chopped up and shot through it like in Fargo. That was there was no mulching of people, but
I'm not saying a snow blower. I'm saying a snow plow. Like,
no,
like
that, It definitely seems to be trucks. So that, yeah, in that day, three people were killed by two different dump trucks in two different parts of the city, and they were all elderly. They were all in their 70s.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah, I know. They lived a good life, I'm sure.
Life free of getting hit by a snowplow until it was too late. I guess you could say a good life.
That was last February.
I'm waiting for you to say, like, we're still waiting on the numbers from this February. And with that, I think we're good.
We're something, all right.
There's nothing I cannot do better. I mean, I can try to be funny, but I cannot do better than the mental imagery of this little old lady carrying her groceries home from this food store, being like, "Oh, I bought some bread and milk for the kids because my daughter's staying over for the weekend, and you know it's snowing out, and you know the kids, they like to go out and play in the snow, and good if they come inside and have some soup and some toast." And she's walking home from the store, and the fucking snowplow just fucking macks her like a fucking train, like that bullet train that hit that moose, so that picture I sent you, where she just like explodes like a bag of meat, with just fucking like a Ziploc bag of meat just rips open, and blood and guts go everywhere, like a Guar show. Old lady plastered all over the road. Like, they don't even have parts to bury her, because it's just a smear across the front of the fucking truck. To me, that's what happens there. I know that's not what happens in reality, and I'm sure that it would be completely mortifying to find out that anybody who listens to this is like, "That was my grandmother, you son of a bitch. She didn't splatter like a bag of meat. She died with dignity." But not in my mind. Not in my mind. She died horribly with no dignity, fighting it the whole way. She got sucked underneath the fucking plow, and it just hit her and ground her up against the fucking gravel with the sparks coming up and like fucking chunks of her flying up in the air.
Ooh, there was someone killed by a snowplow in 2008.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Old lady or what?
No, a 40-year-old or a 49-year-old, but she ran across, just like, there's lots of jaywalkers in Montreal, like it's sort of a pastime. Yeah, she jaywalked and got hit by a snowplow. One of the snow truck drivers who ran into the people did not have a valid license at the time.
Colin?
Have a snowplow serial killer in Montreal?
No, but there was a guy in Toronto who stole a snowplow, ran over a police officer with it, and was charged with first-degree murder.
What?
I love Canada.
The headline is Toronto police officer dies after being struck by a stolen snowplow.
We don't go to the store and get guns. We go steal a snowplow.
Yeah, that's like everything I know about your country is like I'm not as much as I'm willing to joke about Canada. I'm not that stupid that I would even suggest that you guys don't have guns. I'm very aware that you guys have guns in Canada. I mean, especially considering that there's large parts of Canada that are way more rural than large parts of America, and they need guns because there's things like moose up there that you would want to shoot with guns. The thing about that is that I tend to think about like guns in Canada as being a thing of like, hey, I have a gun for hunting and hunting only. I would never kill anybody. No one in Canada would ever kill anybody ever. And to hear the idea that someone's like, not only am I going to kill somebody, but I'm going to steal a snowplow and I'm going to kill a police officer. Like, it's not even like a crime of passion. Like, my husband's cheating on me. I'm going to go to the local depot and steal a snowplow and run his ass over, and I'll show him and that fucking whore he's cheating on me with. It's like, no, I'm going to go fucking steal a snowplow and I don't know, kill a cop. Sounds like a good Friday. I don't know. You know, I'm kind of bored, kind of psychotic.
Well, yeah, if he's charged with first-degree murder, he clearly decided, I'm going to run over this motherfucker. Like,
well,
first-degree murder is premeditated.
Premeditation is only, basically, if you think you're going to kill somebody, that's premeditation. If there's even the doubt in your, like, there's a possibility in your head that you're going to kill somebody by doing something.
But, like, I'm just saying he didn't steal a snowplow to escape and accidentally ran over a cop. Clearly,
no.
He had the intent of doing harm.
Well, no, I would say that he probably stole, the way that it probably happened was logically speaking, this nutbag that stole a snowplow and tried to run somebody, or didn't run somebody over, in his mind, he was really thinking of just stealing the snowplow, and then he was driving along and then happened upon a police officer, and then in that moment he decided he was going to murder him with a snowplow. That's more likely what happened in this complete fucking nutbar's head. See what I'm saying? I can't read a news story and just go, oh, that's terrible. I gotta think about it. I gotta think about what the cop was thinking about as he got hit by the snowplow. Like, because who thinks they're gonna get killed by a snowplow? Like, no, as a cop.
No one. Yeah, if I'm a cop, I'm sure Snowplow is not the way I think I'm going to go, if I'm going to go in the line of duty.
Oh, God. And on that note, thank you for listening to Internet Boyfriends. I'm Joey. With me is Ryan.
Hey, I'm Gobo on Twitter. Goodbye.
And Colin.
And I'd like to extend official apologies to Colin.
Why is that?
Apologies for what?
I don't know. Leading him astray. Having to sit through, listen to us ramble on for so long.
I was going to listen to it anyways.
That's true.
Anyways, Ryan, Colin.
Later.
Sanquist on Twitter.
Sanquist on Twitter. Doesn't matter.
We're all getting a little loopy and tired.
We love you. I started loopy and tired, so it's far beyond that point at this point. We love you all. End of the week. Whatever. Fucking this episode's over. See you bitches later.